Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're looking at something that I think a lot of us have encountered at some point in our lives. The nightmare neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
You sent us this letter that you wrote to the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast, and it's a doozy. So basically, you moved to a quiet, remote area.
Yeah.
You know, looking for some peace and quiet, ocean views, fresh air, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And instead, you got Joe.
And I think what's so interesting here is this seemingly simple desire for peace and quiet really clashes with Joe's behavior in a way that can actually impact someone's mental well-being.
Yeah. So at first, it was just loud music, especially late at night, which, you know, wasn't exactly the calming ocean sounds that you were hoping for.
Right.
Did you try to talk to him about it?
It seems like you did. The letter details how you tried to reason with Joe, but he was just dismissive and completely unwilling to compromise. It's almost as if he had no regard for the concept of shared space or mutual respect.
Yeah. So you even tried to be like a good neighbor and you baked him cookies.
Oh, wow.
But it doesn't seem like that fostered any goodwill.
Right.
It seems like it just emboldened Joe to be even louder.
Yeah, and that's a common misconception, you know. Yeah. People think that kindness will always win somebody over,
right.
But sometimes it can be interpreted as weakness,
yeah,
which really just emboldens them to push those boundaries even further.
So what happens when kindness fails? Well, you got creative.
Yeah.
You installed a motion sensor floodlight and aimed it directly at Joe's bedroom window.
Interesting. So the floodlight tactic, I mean, it's fascinating. On the surface, it's just retaliation. It's mirroring Joe's behavior. But psychologically, it's really you trying to assert control.
Yeah.
You're reclaiming your peace by disrupting his.
Oh, I see.
It's basically saying you're not the only one who can control this environment.
Interesting. But Joe, being Joe, he did not back down.
Right.
He covered the window with a tarp, and that's when the real noise warfare began.
Oh, really?
You countered his chaotic playlist with classical music.
Now, that's actually a pretty brilliant strategy.
Yeah.
Because it not only combats his noise with a different sound, but it introduces this whole psychological element. You chose classical music, like Mozart, Beethoven.
Right.
It really highlights the contrast in your approaches to noise.
That's true.
It's almost like a satirical commentary on his lack of refinement.
So, like, if you're going to be loud, at least have some taste.
Right, exactly.
So did it work?
Well, your letter mentions that you saw Joe storm out of his house in frustration, so it definitely got under his skin.
Okay.
But as we often see in these situations, mirroring that negative behavior can escalate things rather than resolve them.
Yeah.
And it just becomes this vicious cycle of one-upmanship.
And with Joe, that cycle took a rather unsettling turn.
That's right. Your letter describes finding a note with a final warning taped to your door.
Oh, geez.
With a little present from his dog.
Oh, no.
What's interesting here is how these seemingly minor things can become huge when they're part of this larger conflict.
Right. It's like the dog dropping incident wasn't just about the mess. It was about, like, violating your space.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to intimidate you.
It was meant to intimidate you. And, you know, even the note itself, while maybe it's a little childish, it really takes on this threatening tone, especially in this context.
Right.
It's a clear signal that he's not interested in resolving this peacefully at all, and he's really willing to escalate things.
And that's when things go from annoying to, like, genuinely concerning.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned another neighbor, Martha, who shed some light on Joe's past.
Right.
And apparently he has a history of conflict like this.
Wow.
And has really isolated himself from the community.
Martha's insights are so crucial because they give us this whole other layer.
Yeah.
It's not just a noisy neighbor anymore.
Right.
This might be someone with some deeper issues that make them act aggressively or antisocially.
It's like it went from dealing with an annoying roommate to realizing you live next to somebody who's actually dangerous.
Exactly.
And that completely shifts the dynamic.
And this brings us to a really crucial point. Feeling unsafe in your own home.
Right.
When your sense of security is violated like that,
yeah,
it triggers a primal fear.
Oh, totally.
Your home is supposed to be your sanctuary, your safe space.
You're supposed to feel safe there.
And when that's threatened, it can really mess with you. Stress, anxiety.
I was going to say, you mentioned in your letter that you started feeling like a prisoner in your own home.
Right.
like constantly on edge, wondering what Joe was going to do next.
And that's completely understandable. The fear of confrontation.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
waiting for the next aggressive thing.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Totally. It's like you said, you're under siege.
Exactly.
So you were caught in this awful dilemma.
Right.
You want to stand your ground, but you also don't want to put yourself in danger.
Exactly. And it's a classic fight or flight response.
Right.
But neither option feels good.
Not at all.
It's so complex.
Yeah.
On one hand, you deserve to enjoy your property.
Of course.
You have the right to live in peace. But on the other hand, if you escalate things with someone like this, it can get really unpredictable and dangerous.
And then the final straw. After some quiet, Joe strikes again. But this time, it's not just music. It's a pile of trash dumped right on your property line.
This is interesting because this is a major escalation. It's not about noise anymore. It's about disrespect.
Oh, yeah.
And just blatant provocation.
Like he was trying to get a reaction out of you.
Exactly.
To push you until you snapped.
And your letter ends with you reaching for the hose.
Oh, my God.
And we're all wondering what happened next.
Did you confront him?
Did things escalate?
That image of you just standing there with a hose facing Joe across this pile of trash is just, wow.
Yeah.
It's just this, like, really powerful moment.
It really is.
Where do you even go from there?
It's like your story really illustrates this concept called the frustration-aggression hypothesis.
Okay.
So basically, when our goals are blocked, like your goal was peace and quiet, it creates frustration, and then that can turn into aggression.
Even if it's not something that you'd normally do.
Exactly.
So picking up that hose, even if you didn't use it in the end, that was just a natural response to all of Joe's antics.
Totally makes sense from a psychological standpoint.
But it seems like acting on that aggression doesn't really solve the problem.
It really doesn't. And a lot of times it makes it worse.
Right. It's just a cycle.
Exactly. A cycle of retaliation.
And with somebody like Joe, who seems to love conflict.
Oh, yeah.
It could get out of control really fast.
And that's why, even though it might feel really good for a second to be like, okay, you dump trash, I'm going to spray you with a hook. It's ultimately just counterproductive.
Right. You're right back in that cycle.
Exactly. And now it's even more intense.
And who knows what he would do.
Right. And we know he's already left that note.
Right.
It could get really dangerous.
It's a classic lose-lose situation.
It is.
So what's the alternative? How do you get out of that?
Well, I think the most important thing is to remember that you're not alone.
Right.
There are resources that can help.
Okay.
Reaching out to the local authorities or community mediation.
Right.
That's crucial.
Like calling in a referee almost.
Right. It's about getting an objective perspective from somebody who can help set some ground rules and just make sure things don't get crazy.
And it's not a sign of weakness to reach out for help, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It shows that you're strong, that you're in control, and that you're prioritizing yourself.
I think we've all been there feeling frustrated, angry, wanting to fight back when we're dealing with someone like Joe.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But sometimes the bravest and the smartest thing to do is to step back from the conflict.
You're absolutely right.
And try to find a peaceful resolution.
As we wrap up this deep dive, we wanted to leave you with this. How do we define winning in this kind of situation?
That's a great question.
Is it about getting even proving a point?
Yeah.
Or is it about getting your peace of mind back and making sure you're safe?
That's something to think about.
It is.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the nightmare neighbor. And to you, our listener, we wish you the best of luck in finding a resolution that gives you some peace and security.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.